Good afternoon. Welcome back to The Good Life. If you just joined us, well, that's a shame. Don't forget, podcasts are available right after the show. Max will upload those before I can even get out of the studio. They'll be there. My guest today is Lindsay Jean Hard. The book is Cooking with Scraps, and it's got beautiful photography and of course, some great opportunities to use things that we normally put in the trash bin, or if you're really good, you put in your compost pile, I guess. But Lindsay, I love artichokes. I love artichoke hearts, whether they come out of a can or if somebody takes the time to prepare fresh artichokes. And when I opened the page and saw artichoke nachos, you got to be kidding me. And that's got to be a healthier way to do, and it looks so pretty. Talk about this recipe.
Yeah, this one actually came to me in a dream, believe it or not. I love eating artichokes whole and just peeling off each leaf one at a time and dipping it in butter. But I know that a lot of times people are preparing them just to get at the heart. And when you're doing that, you are left with a pile of leaves. So I wanted to come up with a good way of using them. And so in this recipe, I'm treating them a little bit like nachos. So unless it's an incredibly young, tender artichoke, you're not eating very much of that leaf, but you're biting off that little end bite that's still really flavorful and tender, and then taking along the toppings along with it. In this case, I've topped them with feta and black olives and a little bit of aioli, but you could really customize that to whatever sounds good to you.
Well, I could just see that if you pick that up and did that typical, here I am pulling a leaf through my teeth and getting all that unctuous goodness at the back bottom end of the leaf, but then I have feta or goat cheese and a little slices of fresh jalapeno pepper and the black olive. I mean, it's a texture thing. It's salty. It's savory. That's a brilliant idea. And then when I looked at the next page that is talking about tempura and you with your background living in Asia, I wonder what would happen if you did tempura batter on if some of the smaller, younger, tender inside leaves of an artichoke.
Yeah, I'm sure that'd be delicious.
Okay, talk about the tempura stuff. This is a great way to turn some leftover things, leaves or whatever, into something crunchy, crispy, fun to eat.
Yeah, and this is another one of those clean out the crisper recipes. So it's not necessarily a scrap. You can be doing this with any odds and ends that you have hanging out in your fridge, whether it's just a little bit of broccoli and cauliflower or one sweet potato. And then you can fry them with this tempura batter on them. And you have a great appetizer that's making use of odds and ends in your fridge.
You know, I want you to talk about banana peels. Because, you know, you have a recipe in here using banana peels that intrigues me. My wife makes the very best banana nut bread. I mean, from scratch, she just does a tremendous job. But you know where the peels go, right? So how does this work? I can't imagine that banana peels are going to give you the same thing as a beautiful ripe banana.
Yeah, I think this is going to be the most surprising recipe for folks in the book. But banana peels are actually edible. I like to use the peels from the really ripe bananas so that are covered with spots. They'll give you the most flavor in the final dish, but you can use regular yellow banana peels too. And I just lightly cook them to soften them up, and then I blend them with an immersion blender or food processor, whatever you have. And so it turns into a fruit puree that is just giving this cake moisture and a nice light bouncy texture. And no one would ever have any idea that it's made with banana peels.
Really? So you're getting the same flavor and texture, but without using the interior part of the banana.
Yes, it's crazy.
I like it. Well, I'll tell you, Linz, I think the book is great. I can't wait to try some of this. And, you know, we were talking during the break. I look at everything and I'm thinking, oh, man, with a little bit of rum, you know, that that would be good. And it makes me sound like I'm a drunkard. I am not. But some pretty cool things. I like it. I'm looking at who took the pictures. Did you do this?
No, I didn't. It's Penny de los Santos, and yeah, they're incredible.
Oh my goodness! I mean, the food styling is great. I'm back in the clean out the crisper section with sugars, and looking at some of this blood orange peel sugar, pear peel sugar. You know, we talk about that, but talk about those two in particular, using lemon peel and infusing sugar. Is this, do you just throw it all together and let it sit? Do you cook it?
It's the same thing, same principle, really, as the salt. So you want to be drying out the peels first, and then you're blending them up with sugar in a food processor.
Hmm. Do you find air drying, which takes a good bit of time, better, equal to, lesser than using a food dehydrator?
I wish I had a food dehydrator to play around with. I have really only done it in my oven on the lowest possible setting. So I think you have options for how you dry them out.
You should have seen my kitchen this summer. I raised jalapeno peppers and serranos and habaneros at a friend's farm. And I harvested pounds and pounds of peppers. I had to buy another a dehydrator because just to speed the process up. And the house smelled so good. We had a dehydrator for years that we never used. And, boy, I almost burned it up this summer making turning jalapenos into stuff that I can grind up into powder. And now I got to turn it into blend them together, serranos, jalapenos, and habaneros into a powder, a condiment. And
oh, wow.
I haven't done it yet.
Some of that powder into salt.
Well, that's what I was just going to think. I've tried to think of, you know, I use it just to shake on things to add flavor and heat. I think there's a lot you could do with the powder. I'll have to play with that. The most unusual thing, I know we touched on it a little bit with the banana peels. The most unusual, the thing that surprises people the most, if the recipe was using up some of your scraps.
Yeah, after banana peels, I think coffee grounds might be the next most surprising.
Okay. I use some coffee grounds before they turn into coffee to season some meat dishes, but you're saying coffee grounds that you've already taken out of the strainer, the used coffee grounds.
Yeah, they still have that same great coffee flavor. So you could be using them again for a rub for meat. I'm using them in the book in a nut butter. So it gives a coffee flavor and a nice texture to the nut butter. But then I also, there's a recipe on food52.com where I'm using them in a French silk pie. And I'm using them to infuse whipped cream for the topping of the pie. But then I'm also using them directly in the crust, mixed together with some ground-up chocolate cookies. It's delicious.
Oh, my goodness. That does sound good. All right. Now, then I'm thumbing through the book to make sure that I'm keeping I'm not missing some of the stuff I want to talk about. One of the things that we, my wife and I, have done is when we make stock or broth, we're pretty good at throwing in some of the things that would normally get down the garbage disposal or into the can. The section on stocks and broth is really cool. What are some of the things that folks ought to be concerned not to use too much if they're making a broth?
I'd say the top one is to not use too much of vegetables that can be bitter. So a lot of the times it's vegetables that are members of the brassica family, so like Brussels sprouts, cabbage, kohlrabi, those can all make your stock bitter. So I would use them in very small amounts per batch. And then from there, it's really whatever you want to do. I think that you can add squash parts like squash guts and peels, but it can make the stock cloudy. So you might want to have like a dedicated batch of squash stock, which could be great then for squash soup or risotto. Same thing with potatoes. Potatoes can also make it cloudy. So depending on how you're going to use your final broth, you might want to avoid those too.
Yeah, I know we use sometimes the onion skin. It adds a little color in addition to a little bit of aromatics. And the picture of the pot with all the ingredients in it, making a vegetable stock, makes me hungry. Really does look good. And then Now here's the dill pickle brine Bloody Mary and the one that we were, Max and I were talking about during the break. Pineapple peel and core lemonade with mint. And
yeah, that one's a great one because so much of the fruit gets cut away when you're cutting away that tough peel.
Yeah, and then of course my adult beverage mind said, and a little bit of rum.
Yeah, that would absolutely be good spiked. Yep,
I like it. The book is so cool, and when you see the photographer next, please pat them on the shoulder and tell them job well done. I know you've probably already done that, but the picture's really, you know, you could say, here's how to use radish tops. But when you have pictures and then the infused alcohol section in the back, it's just so pretty. That, and now I'm not only hungry, now I'm thirsty. The book is so cool. It's from Workman Press. You can, there's a link at Good Life Guide. It'll take you right to Amazon to buy one. It's called Cooking with Scraps. Turn your peels, cores, rinds, and stems into delicious meals. Get your phone ready, because after I say goodbye to Lindsay, we're going to give a copy away. Lindsay, I wish you the best of luck. I hope there's maybe a James Beard recognition in your near future. I have to ask you then, this is your big book project. What's next?
Well, that's a good question. I'm starting to think about book number two, but in the meantime, I've just started working for Zingerman's Bakehouse, a local bakery in Ann Arbor, Michigan. So I'm having fun taking on a new challenge with them.
Yeah, I can't. Zingerman's Bakehouse. It just sounds like a great place to go to lunch, or to pick up some great fresh bread. Are you a wine enthusiast by any stretch?
I am. That wine that you're about to taste sounded delicious.
But you are really in the southeastern heart of the Michigan Peninsula wine country.
Yeah, we do try and get up into wine country in the summertime to visit. It's beautiful up there.
Yeah, probably going up today would be a little cool, but
yes.
Great stuff. Well, I wish you the best of luck. Congratulations on this book. And keep in touch. Put another book together. I'm thinking maybe something associated with Zingerman's and the Bakehouse. Nice.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
Well, I have a great weekend, and thanks for being a part of the Good Life today, and we'll keep in touch.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
So long. Okay, bye. So guess what? You get to be caller number 5. You know the number, 316-869-1330. Max is standing here at the ready to answer your calls. Caller number 5. Call now. We'll give you a copy of Cooking with Scraps. 316-869-1330. We'll be back with the wine of the week and some other fun stuff after this break.